Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Citizen Payne here. Welcome to It's That Time Again on a Wednesday evening, the one and only K. Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We do the live thing mostly almost every Wednesday. And if not, you know, you can hear us archived and stuff like that. I'm Citizen Payne, the son. My mom's on assignment in heaven. And our co-hosts, Brother Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman, and Brother Byron Saunders. I'm going to bring them in a minute. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on, I'm just, you know, the news keeps coming. The hits keep coming with Donald Trump. And I'm going to bring Byron in because we got so much to talk about. We might as well everybody jump off at the same time. Brother Byron, how you doing this evening?
Well, you know, I'm right down in the cesspool, but
right.
But the Nationals won game one. Oh, my God. This city is going crazy. With on one end, we got the Baseball World Series, and then on the other end, we got the cesspool, and the hits, like you say, just keep coming and coming and coming. But I'll say this much for the hits that keep coming and coming and coming. The noose is tightening up. Every single day, it's being revealed just how corrupt. And with today's, I don't know if you heard about it, the GOP tried to storm the hearing that was going on this morning, and they did, held up the hearing for 5 hours. And basically, I mean, this is how my take on this is very simple. Every congressional hearing has a sergeant at arms. What's the sergeant of arms job? To maintain order. And if this is what the GOP are going to engage in, you know what? You instruct your sergeant of arms to arrest them. Put them out of the and make it very difficult for them to continue with a congressional hearing, whether they are on the committee or not, because if they're planning to disrupt, it's called obstruction of justice. It's very plain and simple. We have laws and order. Nobody is above the law.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Byron, because my take on the thing was I just turned on the news to find that out. That was the latest thing. I was out a couple hours, and it just it made me think about the chant that the guys were saying in Charlottesville. You know, all the marching, protesting.
Yes.
Protesting the statues coming down, talking about Jews will not replace us. But it also reminded me of the discussion we were having about that town, I forget, in
Wilmington, North Carolina, yes.
That was kind of eviscerated pretty much based on, you know, what was the story? The story was that there were the wealthy elite whites, and they got together with formed the Fusion Party, and the whole history was that basically these individuals that were members of the society, white men, overthrew a legally elected government and rule of law. And they went, and this is reminded me of that kind of example. These are individuals who don't like the way the law is going on their side, happen to be all white men marching to interrupt a legal hearing that they are, and these guys make the laws. And, you know, from a political standpoint, you could see the merit in making it a spectacle out of it, because like they're saying, they can't argue the facts, so they have to argue the process. Which their precedent is Bill Clinton doing that. I don't want to get too far into this discussion without getting Wayne in here as an official newsman. I know he's got a certain unique perspective. Wayne Gilman, how you doing this evening, my brother?
Just fine. Good evening, gentlemen. But continue your point, Eric. You know, it's interesting.
You know, I mean, it's just that this kind of whole, I mean, you know, they could say, I forget my point. I mean, they could say that it's, you could argue the tactics and make the spectacle out of the process, you know, when you don't have the facts. That's what they the president. I was saying the president was set when the Democrats did that, when the Republicans tried to impeach Bill, or did impeach Bill Clinton for the Monica Lewinsky issue. They couldn't argue the facts, but so they argued the process and saying the process was flawed. So I would suppose that if hammered and pushed their backs to the wall, the Republicans are going to say that that precedent was already set by the Democrats during the impeachment of Bill Clinton. However, it was not about the same type of issues, certainly not about treason, that like this president is doing here. It's just kind of, and we were just discussing, I don't know if you heard it, you know, it's really an example to me of white supremacy. And I kind of think that a lot of white people that fall in that working class or whatever that category is, that that causes them to be alarmed when people use the term white supremacy, you know, I don't think they truly understand it, because it doesn't mean that they've actively taken part in it, right? Even if they haven't expressed any racism, or maybe they're just neutral on the whole race issue. They don't diss black people, but they don't really go out their way to help them and join causes. Maybe they just live their life. And when you talk about white supremacy, I think they get a little defensive because they're not actively engaging in that. But they have to realize that a point needs to be made, once again, Democrats, that they're the benefits of a white, the recipients of a white supremacist system. So just by the very fact of your birth, of how you were born into the world, you're going to benefit. Now, the people that, you know, if Republicans wanted to call themselves not racist, then the ones who aren't racist are the ones who, once they realize I've been born with that benefit, it's not fair, then let me do something about it. And that's the difference when you have, you know, these people try to make these arguments about Hillary Clinton and the Clintons, blah, blah, bing. They were white people. You could say that they were part of the system, but also knowing that they were a part of the system, when they had a choice to help out and change the system, they did. So the whole argument that,
exactly,
you know, you get the Tulsi, you know, you get the Tulsi Gabbards of the world, and even the squad and all of them acting as if the Hillary Clintons and the Nancy Pelosi's aren't progressive enough for them. It's like, wait a minute, kids, we started this. So how are you gonna come
That's
and jump
right.
on and
well,
talk about what we started
you know,
to push? And let me just finish this, wrap it up real quick. I personally, you guys, I'm sure will agree, I don't appreciate the whole progressive movement trying to co-opt things that were built on the backs of black people. And when people like the Pelosi's and the Clintons have been allies to the causes of black people, Bill Clinton messed us up, albeit with the crime bill, right? They played politics. But for the most part, the programs that people like that, individuals, Democrats like that, put forth are things that are of aid to our cause as African Americans. You're going
to
say,
yeah,
Wayne?
I happen to agree. You know, the only thing is, you know, the whole argument with white supremacy is that I think that a lot of these people who are in a information vacuum, they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what Byron said a moment ago. We have a body of laws. We have a system of rules in which to handle issues that come to the fore, like the demonstration by Republicans today. You know, the deal is, it's just that no one, you know, reaches for the literature that basically, well, we have to follow the book. And this is what Pelosi's been about. And, you know, like the other day, and the thing is that no one is fact-checking. They're holding a bipartisan investigation. They're Republicans in that hearing room the same way they're Democrats. You know, but everything is Democratic this and Democratic that. And then you have, you know, the orange man say, oh, it's a lynching. And then you know, again, it goes back to race with the lynching business. And, you know, I had the occasion, when was it, yesterday or day before yesterday, I was watching The View, and Uncle Newt Gingrich was on. And the deal is that he came out with this nonsense about there were more Italian Americans lynched in the United States than there were blacks. And you know, I mean, there was no one on the panel. If I could have come through the TV, you know, or just basically have registered my point, huh?
Whoopi Goldberg didn't say anything?
Well, she did respond. She did respond. But the thing is that there needs to be somebody on air in the studio fact-checking, because she's not expected to remember everything. She's, you know, I mean, she's a sensitive, progressive comedian. She's, you know, and it has nothing to do, this is nothing about professional jealousy or anything like that. But the bottom line is that, yeah, she jumped in his face, but he came out with something that was totally untrue. Were Italian Americans victims of lynching? Yes. They were mostly Sicilians, and I don't have to tell you the history about Hannibal in Italy. You know,
right.
There were people of color, basically. That's what gives Andrew Cuomo the right to say, or at least in his mind, to use the N-word the other day when he was describing, Italians who were going through all sorts of degradation. We call them N-wops and stuff like that. You know, it's just ridiculous.
Whoa,
you know,
wow.
No one looks at you know, history.
Well, they're
not really.
Well, they.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
So the only thing I was going to say is that I don't appreciate a Sicilian being lynched any more than I would appreciate somebody white who, even if I had a political diabolical opposition to everything that they said, you know, I wouldn't want to see that person lynched, you know? But the, you know, this is why we're here. It's a democracy. It's a democratic republic. And unfortunately, this orange man, you know, is going to have us all under somebody else's leadership fairly soon. And I just wish, you know, these supremacists or whoever's out there trying to call the shots and just ignoring what's going on, wake up and see reality. Because what he did in the Middle East the other day with Syria and Turkey and, you know, the Russians have already benefited, unless that was part of the plan. You know.
Well, you see, one of the things that we have got to keep reinforcing with the ignorance of America is this. And you have to say to the president, don't get it twisted. You and your kind have no comprehension of what a lynching is really all about. And until you walked in the shoes of what a lynching means to us as African Americans, you will never know the fear, hatred, bigotry, racism, that the word itself really means. And you see, what's going to happen to him is called impeachment for treason. And he's going to go to prison. Make no mistake about it. That's right.
Yeah.
Because here's the definition of treason in the Constitution. Treason is defined in Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution. Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. No person shall be convicted of treason unless on the testimony of two witnesses to the same overt act on or confession in open court. And here's what we got to really understand about what's going on over in Turkey.
You just described the most recent events of the last week.
That's exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why we need to keep reinforcing what does the law say. Because until we keep making that point very, very clear, then we are, then the media keeps allowing him to pervert the law and the rule of law, and they got to call him out every time he's doing it. In fact, did you see him run away from the press conference this afternoon? Because after he made his so-called "we won, we did the," right? He basically ran away because. And here's where we got. This is where it gets really critical, and people got to understand why is Turkey so invested in this. Because they're a NATO nation. We have 50 nuclear weapons buried in Turkey. And he just made a deal because the president gave him permission to make a deal with our enemy in Russia and Syria. He actually got on the TV today and called Syria a democratic nation, which is a lie, okay?
Yeah.
And when we want
to
– that's right. And when you talk about the our vested interest in that area with 50 nuclear weapons, and he just made a deal with the Russians, he just gave them access to our security. And that's why it's treason. That's treason.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, in third world countries, they take people out just like that. The military has a way, you know. And it just, I'm bothered by that, you know? I mean, right or wrong, I still believe in what this country stands for. I realize my parents brought us here for a reason, as with everybody else, you know. But in third world countries, they just, hey, this guy's lost his moral compass. He's doing this. He's doing that. Kaboom, we'll find somebody to take him out. But
okay,
I just
that
hope it doesn't get
said,
to that
Wayne,
point.
I'm glad you just threw that out there. But, you know, just from the aspect of the concept of violence for a minute since you brought that up, he's trying to get people, he's basically tried to get people hurt himself physically by some of the things that he said on the on his Twitter. You know, he uses insightful language, Trump. Certainly, when Elijah Cummings, his house was broken into mysteriously after, Trump was saying, criticizing him early on in his investigation in his committee, and various other languages he uses, he knows what the effect is and how some people are, period, and people that follow people, how crazy some people get. And he intentionally, I think Maxine Waters has referenced that, at least I saw a headline along those lines somewhere on the internet, that he's trying to get people hurt. And if you pay attention to the language he uses and how he talks about people, certainly the way he talks about anybody that opposes him, or now anybody that finds facts on him and is revealing him to be the criminal that he is. But, I mean, just like this guy, Taylor, who by all accounts is someone whose word you can take to the bank. I mean, a 50-year record of service and serving the country. His word is solid. And the way that these guys have reacted to that and Trump calling human scum Republicans that don't agree with him, I guess the whole thing that surprises me is that everybody's surprised at anything that this guy does, because this is who he is. He's an untrustworthy, scoundrelous type of individual. Mm-hmm. Associated with him, what he tries to incorporate everybody in his web. If you heard anything about his exchange saying that Mitch McConnell, he told Mitch McConnell about the phone call, and McConnell said it sounded innocent or something, and then they talked to McConnell and they said he didn't know anything about the call.
Yeah, right.
He's trying to, he tries to ensnare other people in and say, you remember, you were there. No, I wasn't there. What are you talking about? But then these people, that's how he kind of ropes these people in. The ones who aren't as willing. They all seem to be pretty willing to go along with his whole program, and it's just bizarre that these guys are really trying to do not only a power play, but I think like we were talking about earlier with this thing with the Senate today, with these guys marching over there, that is an example of these guys expressing their supremacy. The fact that they're all white and they all have a certain ideology that they clearly follow, which overrides their patriotism, right? Because like we talked about, just by virtue of one being white in America in a white supremacist country, they might enjoy the benefits of that. Whether they choose to fight against it or not is one thing. And we can say that these guys all flow with that. But when you start trying to take steps to perpetuate that system and make sure that system stays alive, that's when we have a problem. They're all Republicans, right? But clearly there are some whose patriotism supersedes, if they engage in white supremacy, their supremacy or their racism, or if not, if they're just a liberal person who happens to be a Republican, their patriotism supersedes their allegiance to the Republican Party, right? Because, what's good for the country and basic, decent moral conduct and your patriotism, their patriotism superseded that. And it's interesting to see the division of the two types of Republicans, right? The ones that just go along with Trump and whatever he's saying, no matter all of this obvious evidence, and the ones that are saying, hey, wait a minute, I can't go with this. This is enough. And I don't know whether it's how much more of it, whether it's going to be a peeling off process or if it's going to be like one big chunk after another, It seems to be a peeling off process, and that most of them are doing like a herd mentality and just see where the majority of people go,
Well, they seem to have a barometer in their community, and they're basically every day testing what the pulse of their constituents is saying. I mean, to be an elected official is to super serve your constituency. And basically, they want to make sure that whatever they're saying is in lockstep with the either in the ignorance that's coming out of the White House or what reality should be all about, you know? I mean, if you're wrong, you're wrong. You can't be wrong and strong at the same time, you know? And that's how it is. I mean, but I think the party itself has had such a long history, particularly under McDonnell, McConnell, you know, they've been gearing their folks, their supporters, to go a certain way. And unfortunately, not enough of us are informed. And I'm not saying that perhaps there may not be some legitimacy to their arguments, but the bottom line is that we're all facing the same problems. And I happen to agree with you with the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, because yes, I think it's important to be progressive and to move with the changing times, but you can't turn around there and just poo-poo. And we for some reason, you know, and I equate this to what I've noticed with music, having had some exposure in that end of the business. Black people, for some reason, are people of the minute, you know, that they will not, you know, wrap around, and I'm just using this as perhaps as a very poor example, that when Frank Sinatra was alive, you know, you could get millions and millions of people just to see him stand up in front of Radio City Music Hall, lines wrapped around the block, like as if there was no tomorrow, just to hear him, you know, breathe a note. And you know, God bless him at the time, he was able to command that kind of attention. You know, it seems like it's only within recent years that there's been a celebration of people of color who've been successful with music, that, you know, maybe affinity is showered on them, but not on the same level as what whites are willing to do. And I, you know, some people say it's a question of economics. You know, black folks can't do this and they can't. I'm tired of hearing that argument, because I see a lot of people who are in a position of means. You know, I was so happy the other day that Michael Jordan is trying to resurrect his image in a progressive, positive light by donating some of his money to medicine and stuff like that. You know, I just feel that we cannot afford to tear down the work of a Donald Payne Sr. We can't afford to tear down the work of Elijah Cummings, John Lewis, all these people, that the shoulders that we now stand on. You know, the impetus for all that started somewhere. You know, it started way before we got here, a lot of us. But the bottom line is, there is a nexus, you know, from each generation. And, you know, some people have to be put in check. And that's it. I'm not saying that I don't understand your plan to make the planet green. I mean, as long as I'm still here, I'm still affected by it. I got family that would be affected by it. Why not be concerned about what goes on, you know, and things like that? You know, and I also think to a certain extent that, you know, with respect to age and accomplishments, I think there should be probably a restriction or a learning curve in terms of the age limit to run for the presidency. You know, I think once you get into your 70s, you know, regardless of how much fight and power that you have, you know, within you, and I'm approaching that decade now, God willing, and, you know, I would rather give back in terms of, you know, counseling, consultation, you know, guidance, as opposed to just wanting to be in the forefront and you know, seek the last hurrah, you know, and stuff like that. I feel that, you know, one of the reasons why I get so disappointed when I look at Black New York is that a lot of us who are in a position to maintain the power And it's not to say the gentrification could not happen anyway, but there were institutions politically built that have now been marginalized by gerrymandering and black flight, you know, and you know, I mean, it's just Harlem should not be the way Harlem is. I'm not saying Harlem should not be improved, you know, but when I look at what we once had compared to what's there now, it's different. When I look at Newark, I see, well, at least they're still in lockstep with what, you know, the visions of people like Mahmoud Baraka and August Hennigberg and you know, all the luminaries, political luminaries of that particular era that, you know, they're making change. And there are other parts of the country where that's going on. But I don't know. We're not a monolith, but we need to come together on some issues and respect one another. So, you know, I'm going on and on and on. But, you know, I happen to agree with you that I love the trio. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in terms of, you know, kind of the progressive issues, I think that a lot of things that seemed no-brainers to many people who call themselves progressive and certainly, obviously, the extreme progressive wing that is represented by the Squad and those guys, obviously they're pro-civil rights and all of that and equal rights for all people. That's one, the main, large hurdle. I don't want to say just one hurdle in terms of belittling its importance, because it's definitely a key to our freedom as African Americans to realize our full rights, but also, you know, the environment, education, how the money is spent in the budget, things like that, that we as Democrats also agree with, that are progressive and would seem like a no-brainer as well. But guess what? Those issues might not be as basic and automatically important to other people. Clearly, they aren't. I mean, they're in a whole other political ideological party, and they just have different perspectives. Now, we do need to have a base. Obviously, you're in one party. There's a certain base you're not going to go by. You know, we believe all people should be treated equal, yada yada. Even though one party says it, they clearly don't really believe it. And you could say that the Democrats don't always believe it, but you know, as a rule, everybody carries that party line. So obviously, when you get further and further and have more and more issues added to the pot, then that's where, you know, the party starts to splinter a little bit. And I just don't think that because everybody doesn't agree with them, like you were saying, on the New Green Deal, they shouldn't be trying to attack people and tear them down that have been in the party a lot longer than them, who've understood that, you know, in government, you're not going to get everything you want. We all of us agree with that the environment should be a priority, you know, and let's pull it as much as we can to be a priority. But the nature of our political system doesn't allow us, at least those of us who play by the rules that the system says to play by, doesn't allow us to straight just bogart and do whatever we want to do. How ironic that, you know, that's being said during this current time of our history, when we have a commander in chief who is trying to consolidate power and kind of basically fundamentally change our system of government.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, you know, he's trying to make it an oligarchy or whatever, or a dictatorship or whatever he's trying to do. But it's just ironic that that's what's going on. And they're using all the tactics. I mean, you know, the tactics of counterintelligence, misinformation. I mean, you talked about the information being delivered. That's what they bank on. They bank on, as always, throughout this country, the ignorance of people. And the lack of information of people. But who's to say? The caveat to that is that even the educated ones that are racist, what do you say about educated people who still choose to be racist? You know, so
yeah.
Clearly it's not only within the educational makeup of someone. You know, I mean, you would assume it would be, because the more educated you have, the more you would realize that there probably is just a bizarre concept. But, you know, certain people choose to be ignorant, right? I mean, it's like they choose to ignore the lies that this guy tells, and like Byron was saying, the media does not do the best job. They do it most of the time, but when the guy's standing up there lying, just lie after lie, just making stuff up. You know, I go back to something as an example as simple as the transcript versus the summary. We'll release the transcripts of the phone call. The next day, it's a summary. It's a five-page. You know, maybe people don't know a summary is not a transcript. Then we have to go back to school. What's a transcript? It's a word-for-word written-out documentation of what was said. A summary is summarized. Someone's opinion. Someone read it, and they summarized it for you. So therefore, what was said. That's what they should have said. They should have said, let's stop right here at this moment. We've received a summary, not the transcript like the president said. A transcript is not I mean, we really have to get that elementary for some people to break it down for them, because there's a lot of issues, a lot of stuff to unpack, and a whole lot of information. And, you know, not everybody is built for paying attention to the politics and being wonky and paying attention, like a lot
and
of us are.
That's the problem. That's the
problem,
I mean, I don't know if you got to give Americans cliff notes to put in their mailboxes every day, but some people are still going to pay attention, and some people, I was watching a documentary in the middle of the night the other night about social programs, and they were very objective. This was on, I believe, one of the PBS stations in this area, and they were talking about how Americans have been, to a certain extent, lulled into having a safety net. You know, we got Social Security. We got social programs that are important. I mean, there are people out here who are living on the edge, and they're really have no means in which to fend for themselves without the help of the federal government. But it's gotten to the point now where, even the government has its limits, and they're expecting Americans now to change the game, as time goes on. You know, the epilogue in the whole thing is that, we need to be constantly educating ourselves, constantly advancing our causes, because you just can't sit back. Even if you're retired, you can't sit back and not do something to elevate the conversation, to bring about a certain level of knowledge so you could stay, progressive until the good Lord sends for you when it's time for you to go. And it just made me think. I just said to myself, well, damn, if I didn't have my SAG-AFTRA pension, or God forbid, if I didn't have a Social Security check, I would probably be out there scuffling like I did when I was in my teens, wrapping packages at the A&P, pushing a cab, being stabbed in the middle of the night. It's just all these things. And, again, I have to go back. Byron mentioned the whole Million Man March movement of what seems to be 1,000 years ago now. But one thing Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam was always, pressing at the time was this thing about basically taking care of oneself, being independent. And I still think that applies. I don't hear enough about it. And then I hear a lot of misinformation about the nation now being aligned with that group, the actor Ted Cruz. Is it... I can't think of the name of the group. It's a religious organization based in the West that Tom Cruise is affiliated with. I can't. You know what I'm talking about.
Scientology.
I understand there's some. Yeah, right. I don't know how true it is, but is there a relationship between the nation and Scientologists?
The
Nation of Islam. Yeah.
I never heard anything like that.
I don't know, every once in a while that seems to come up. Somebody made it as a joke the other day. I'm beginning to think there may be some truth to it. I'm going to look into that.
I don't know.
I would
I've
hate to think
that.
Based on what I heard.
Fake news.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
I haven't been having my ear to the ground, with what's going on with Mr. Farrakhan. I listen to his videos and things like that, but I haven't seen any of the chat rooms or anything like that, people talking about the relationship between the two. Obviously, that's a news story that you know, is probably an acquired, a little bit more of an acquired taste, you know. But
yeah.
No, I haven't heard anything along those lines. But I want to get back to a couple of things we were talking about before we get off. We talked about, you know, the whole phraseology, these guys using lynching, and, you know, Joe Biden came out and said he used a partisan lynching back in the day when he was talking about that. And the concept of, you know, what the experience has been, even you were talking about Newt Gingrich getting on, talking about more Italians than black people have been lynched, which is, you know, it's just you laugh in somebody's face when they say that. But the suffering and the horrific tragedies and barbaric acts that have been exacted upon black people don't receive the same reverence that the Holocaust and that issue. You know what I'm saying? We don't get the same respect and reverence when it's talked about, even when it's referenced. You know, it's like a Holocaust thing is even sound like, look like you're going to say something, and there's people, rightly so, correcting you and making sure of that. But just, you know, and it's reflective of United States and, once again, white supremacy, that anything referencing the horrific acts enacted upon black people is referenced so lightly. You know,
and
people talk about, oh, you're lynching
me.
Really? I mean, just look at the pictures. Look at the history of that. And that's what needs to be made real for a lot of these people, those that really want to see the truth. There's others, you know. I mean, a lot of people don't want to see the truth.
The crazy thing is, not to cut you off, Eric, is that the Italians got reparations for what, you know, misdeeds the white Americans did back then. And they equated these people with people of color, because they were mixed with African descent. Mostly Sicilians are, you know. So,
yeah,
but we
right.
don't have reparations, you know.
Right. I mean, that's. I mean, that's even way further down the line. I'm just talking even the subject matter of lynching and slavery. Even you know, the whole reference to it does not receive the same reverence that other groups' tragedies and these. The terrible instances in their race, their particular ethnic group's history. We're the ones, ours is always kind of like, you know, it's washed over or not taken as seriously, or it was a long time ago, you know, so get over it. That is still a notion in 2019 that so many people are unaware and ignorant to, you know, just the everyday facts of what it was like to be an American and to be white as opposed to black over the centuries. You know, and it's real lightly experience here.
It's something very interesting happened this past weekend on Sunday on HBO, and I recommend that all of us take a good, hard, long look at this new HBO series called Watchmen. Now, Eric, Wayne, you're not going to believe how it starts off with. It starts the entire episode recreates the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre as its opening sequence. And from there, Regina King is in it. I mean, it's got a lineup. And the reviews that I read, there are 9 episodes. They're saying HBO has taken on something as big as they did with Game of Thrones. And they're challenging Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, because it's the first time a series has started with a massacre on the level of what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the race riots of 1921. They even show biplanes dropping bombs on people in the streets. Black people. Now, you know, that's like, that
just
in
the
itself
fact that they're dealing
is
with that subject matter.
Exactly. And I've said this before, and you and I, Eric, we're in the entertainment industry. White people will show you and tell you their entire history in a movie.
Right.
You don't have to go to school. Like, and it was interesting, Wayne, when you were referencing the ignorance of America, is because they've been geared to read the cliff notes and not read the facts. They've been geared to accept the sound bites and not the truth. They've been geared towards misinformation as opposed to the real information.
And
their history books that they're getting in schools are not reflecting the honesty of racism and the treachery that this country has engaged in. And until that is remedied, they're going to keep replicating the ignorance, because it's to their advantage to have people ignorant of how they've been deploying the democracy in this country.
Right. For a long time, all those many years, it wasn't that people were ignorant to the facts and because they didn't want to seek them out. It was those facts weren't in. There's a story that's told, but it's not history. You know what I'm saying? That it's not when America says it's American history. Yeah, there's a story. Last part of that word that's being told, but it ain't history. It's not factual. It's a made up story. It's a narrative of how America was founded by some people who want to justify their acts of brutality in many cases, make themselves the hero in other cases. You know what I'm saying? So we know that it's some. You know, you can't be mad at people who don't know when they've been lied to and had stuff made up about and said this narrative, this is the narrative, this narrative is your history, this narrative is fact, when in fact it wasn't a fact at all. It was just made up by people who wanted to make this system work so it could serve their own personal interests. Now, once you know that, then the decision is on you, which way you going to go. You going to continue to go with the bullshit? Or you gonna go with the facts and be righteous, and that's where you separate the people from the people.
Yep. So when we hear the president use the word lynching, most white folks don't even go to a concept of the lynching that we had to go through. They don't see the pictures of the dismembered.
Right.
Hanging fruit, as in strange fruit, sung by Billie Holiday. They have no, they have no concept of what that's all about. So for them, a lynching is Boot Hill. A lynching is when the Wild Wild West went down, and you know you caught a cattle thief and you just hung him because But when it comes to Emmett Till, when it comes to all the other members who have. Even the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. is a lynching, okay?
Yeah,
let's be honest about it. We got to tell you what it is. It wasn't just a murder. It was an assassination called a lynching. And when you put it in that perspective, then people begin to realize and recognize. And I heard something, and my fiance and I just were aghast today because we heard how the educational system here in the D.C. area is about to engage in teaching more about hate crimes. And, of course, you know what they start with, the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust.
Yeah.
Now, with all due respect, as all due respect to my Jewish brethren, your Holocaust compares insignificantly.
Middle passage, I hear you.
You must have dropped out for a second, but I'm gonna pick up where you left off, Byron. Also, too, when the phrase lynching, and when people you see it in the old West movies and places like that, and cats getting hung, those cats got hung. The lynching was something in particular that they did to black people. It was a phraseology that they used for black people because it was based on. Named after Willie Lynch, right? Who came up with the slave diary or Bible or Chronicles or whatever, and how to create and maintain slaves. So they can't. The fact that they're even using the phrase is incorrect. You know,
exactly.
Other people get hung by their neck. You can't say they wasn't lynched because it wasn't done with that. Lynching was something specifically done. To black people,
and it was geared towards one element of our society, and that's it. You're right, the blacks. You know, I'm even astounded that Lindsey Graham, who represents a state where a lot of this went on, had the nerve to form his lips to say, "Yeah, it's a political lynching." All of a sudden, he wants to get into this double talk about
Byron.
What. Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
The reality is that the notion of the lynching itself becomes something of a mystery, with realizing that if you're not teaching how lynching was used in your
right,
public
I was just saying that the whole
system,
phrase of it, the fact that it was a phrase, that it was something that was specifically done to African Americans. It wasn't something that was done across the board. The whole phraseology,
exactly,
named after Willie Lynch, and something that they choose to do to blacks who wanted freedom or out of line or whatever. The mother cats get hung. They got hung. They didn't get lynched.
Yeah.
It's a difference, you know.
And then when you talk about the Holocaust, you know, yes, as I was unfortunately disconnected there, but when you talk about the Holocaust, yes, it did happen to the Jews in Germany. But let's not be confused that the Holocaust of the Native American Indians and the African American slave trade is over 100 million people. That's
exactly
a Holocaust. Okay?
Yeah.
And if you're going to start teaching it, don't just start with that particular Holocaust. Let's be inclusive of how this country was formed, how they invaded, they took land, put the Trail of Tears, where they marched Indians across from South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, all the way to Oklahoma. And it wasn't in the backseat of a station wagon. And they gave the Indians blankets infected with smallpox. That's a Holocaust, ladies and gentlemen. So let's not get it conflicted.
Right. There are different levels and numbers of it. I mean, I think with the Holocaust, with the Jewish Holocaust, is that it was probably one of the first times that the actual footage of people being led to gas chambers, I could remember that being one of the first times I saw such graphic, you know, when you see those serious documentaries about them shoveling the bodies in mountains of bodies that the Germans made their propaganda films.
That's
right. Something that makes it so real as once there was footage of the civil rights movement that made it that real for people in America to get involved and to have sympathy for that cause when they saw the dogs being sicked on our people and the fire hoses being let loose on everybody. So I think, you know, that's what they say, the image of pictures worth a thousand words, and those images, you know, made it real for people. And that was before you were able to manipulate images as easily as you can do nowadays, right? And that was before images were everywhere. The moving image wasn't everywhere back then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody has camera phones, thank God, and sometimes not, thank God. Go ahead.
And which is really why it's important that we begin to recognize what Oprah and Tyler and even Oscar Micheaux, we must begin to recognize they weren't just making movies to entertain. They were trying to give you the history. Give it to you.
Exactly.
All in live and in living color, even in black and white, because their story was not to praise their existence. It was to give you an accountability of the legacy of our people. And it has always been that.
And also, let me just piggyback real quick, because before I get this point, when you guys were talking about that earlier, the fact that, like when you're saying, when we see movies about that include other people, include ourselves, that shows that we were a part of the culture too. Like you're saying, Byron, that we existed, we were a part of the culture, we had these lives. But when you have the drought of all one-sided cultural displays, music, movies, and all that, The story is told already, even though it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's out there. The images are out there. So that negative story of our people was told by the enemy, people who were trying to tell negative stories about us. And so once we started being able to tell our own stories and images a little bit more and get it widespread so everybody can see, you know, it changes the mentality. It's like you were saying, Wayne, once people were seeing, you know, positive images of themselves, people saying, oh, I didn't know black people were like that there and here, you know?
Right. It's sad that you know, that we feel that way, you know. It's just unfortunate that we have to go through all that. But, you know, we're living in a time now. It's exciting, you know. I think there's greater acceptance as long as we're on this path that, you know, there's an effort for equal footing. I look back at the time, you know, I was talking to one of my relatives last night about this, when if black were given an opportunity to work at a major network, it was like going to Noah's Ark. You know, they always picked two of these and two of those, and the rest, the majority always ruled. But the deal is that if you got your foot in the door, you know, you were one of the two animals that they had on the boat towards survival. Now it just seems that the way we've grown as a society, the fact that social media has become so much in the fore, that there have been opportunities. And the thing that I see that it seems to be very glaring to me, I don't know if you all have made the same observation, they have beautiful women of color who are not just physically beautiful, but articulate, salient with their points when they get on, you know, some of these talk shows and deliver the news. And I remember there was a time when we didn't even have great numbers like that, you know, behind us, you know, or it was just basically male dominated and things like that. So I think there change is on the horizon. And every, you know, as we were starting out saying earlier that, you know, we have to stand on the shoulders of those people who provided the foundation for us. But we can't afford to forget, man. Can't afford for people not to do the fact-checking when somebody comes out and says, you know, blah, 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 and they're all Italians, you know, so that means that they were, you know, far more of them than it was of you all. Why are you complaining about what goes on?
Sure.
And this is not to character assassinate any person of color on that show. It's just that I think everybody needs to stand up and do what they need to do, you know, in terms of providing the information, because that stuff is deliberately done just to twist the minds of those people who
exactly.
are not
so misinformation
educated.
Campaign,
yeah.
You know, and it's
that's
incumbent. It really is incumbent now, I think more than ever, that the record, like you said, be set straight and accurate, Wayne, because misinformation in this new age, ironically, is more rampant than ever, right? It's more able, they say, this information can go around the world in however short of a time because of the internet now. Well, just like that correct information, misinformation can go around the world. Probably even quicker when they add some salacious, ultra-dramatic aspects to it. You know that they talk about the power. One of the main ways that the Russians influenced the 2016 election was through Facebook, which they were kind of grilling Zuckerberg on, you know, his trying to get
right.
him to have Facebook and crack down on these false fake news and the ads that these bots are putting on and his justification trying to make the argument, right, arguing the merits, is that the whole power of speech element that he's arguing now. And that you don't want, they don't want to, you know, impede anybody's right for free speech. Well, but if they're lying about stuff, why, you know, how is that really free speech? And particularly when they're lies or lies about other individuals or groups or facts about those people. That should fall, to me at least, sounds like it falls under the category of slander and libel. You know?
And
it
sounds like
it gets back
to those groups.
Well, it gets back to this. How many times have you been kicked off of Facebook, Wayne or Eric? Have you been kicked off of Facebook before,
no,
put
in
the Facebook
even do
jail?
Facebook.
Okay,
no,
well, here's a reality check. While he's sitting there talking about he can't or doesn't want to censor political speech, whether it's wrong or right, and or disinformation or misinformation, I've been kicked off for putting too much Black history on. I've been kicked off of Facebook for saying thank you to too many people who wished me a happy birthday. So they're already participating in a censoring program, especially when it comes to Black history. You know, if you this is why it's important for us to have this show. This is why it's important for us to have black newspapers, black media. Let us start saluting our people and correcting the mistakes that have and misinformation that's out there. Like today, you know the importance of the significance today is? And Wayne, you're a newsman, and I can just imagine you taking this story and running with it all the way until you got the last word from anybody. But it was on this date. In 1790, the first slave revolt in Haiti took place. Wayne, you wish you could have been there to write this story. Because think about it. The island was settled in 1600s by the French buccaneers. And in 1664, the newly established French West India Company took control of the colony and named it Saint Dominique. Now, how many people know this information? France formally claimed control of the western portion of the island of Hispaniola, and later France named its newly colonized island Saint-Dominique in the early 1700s, while the other half of the island is now known as what? Dominican Republic. But it was Toussaint Louverture who defeated Napoleon and his great navy. Remember that. But they captured him. He died in France. They starved him to death. But it was General Jean-Jacques Dessalines, the leader of the rebels, that proclaimed the colony an independent country called Haiti. And it was at that same time that they defeated the French that the United States, Great Britain, Spain, Portugal, and France created an embargo around Haiti to enslave it while it's poor today, and it was at the same time the United States engaged in slave laws. Now, you don't learn that in school.
You're absolutely right, Byron, and I tell you the thing that I find most depressing is that the impact of what this man did hundreds of years ago is still reflective that Dominicans are fearful of Haitians, you know? And that's a whole other hour-long discussion. I don't want to eat up the time, but, you know.
But see, this is why it's so important to understand the significance and impact of learning about words like lynching. Like you said, Willie Lynch. Okay, because if you don't know the history, you really can't even connect.
I mean, you know, and the media, you know, like we said, this country's been telling lies about us since we've been on these shores. You know, I mean, and clearly, quiet as it's kept, we were on these shores before a lot of these people brought us to these shores.
We talked about a Holocaust.
So there's no need to really rely on the media as much. They've gotten better over the centuries, over the decades, in terms of including a more progressive, or at least now there's other various outlets for the various ideologies and belief systems that people have. So, you know, it's getting better that way, but we definitely need to be in a position to control our own message and to get our own message out, and certainly not have to be out. But we got to go. We got a minute. I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. Byron, you want to tell the folks goodbye to the folks?
Peace and love. Yeah, peace and love always. And use your power, people. We can make the change. We are the difference. We're God's chosen people. Amen, my people. Amen.
Amen. All right, talk to you next week. Wayne Gilman, Brother Wayne Gilman. Good talking to you. Legendary newsman.
All the best. Keep hope alive, brothers.
All right, sir. Good talking to you this evening. Good discussion. This has been the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we're on live most Wednesdays, 8 to 9 p.m., just about every, or you can listen to the show because it's archived. So, my name is Citizen Payne. My mom's on assignment in heaven. We'll see you again next week. Kay Thompson Live. Talk to you soon.